Today's episode is brought to you by Crossway, a not-for-profit ministry that publishes gospel-centered resources to serve the church. Crossway recently published a second edition of Jen Wilkins' book, Women of the Word. Women of the Word is a book that offers a clear plan for studying scripture in a way that trains your mind and transforms your heart. The second edition of this best-selling book includes new study questions with each chapter. Learn more about this book at crossway.org/RM. We're so thankful for Crossway's support.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. First off, we want to thank you guys for all of your support and the excitement surrounding the Risen Motherhood book. We dedicated the book to all of you, the moms in our community that are in the trenches alongside us, looking to Jesus in the midst of all that motherhood brings. In the book, we talk about many common topics moms face and apply the gospel to postpartum body image, school choices, feeding your family, service, marriage, and so many more things. We hope this is a timeless resource that not only encourages you in your current season, but shows you how to apply the gospel to your own unique circumstances and follow Christ right where you're at. If you haven't already, you can snag a copy anywhere books are sold. Okay, so to celebrate this big week, we wanted to do something really different. We invited our husbands, Brad and Mike, to talk about marriage in the little years. Keep in mind, they've never been interviewed on a podcast before, but we were so encouraged to hear their thoughts, experiences, and insights in this season of life. They do a good job of introducing themselves, so let's jump into the conversation with my husband, Brad, and Laura's husband, Mike. Well, welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Emily, and I'm here with my sister-in-law, Laura.
Hey, guys.
And then we have two of, I think, our most special guests that we've ever had. I will, for sure. I'll go ahead and go there. It's our husbands, my husband, Brad.
Hello.
And then Laura's husband, Mike.
Hey, everybody.
All right. So we want our audience to get to know you guys a little bit. So why don't we start off by having Brad share, like, how long we've been married, what's your occupation, hobbies if you have them, special interests.
Sure.
Tell them a little bit about you.
Absolutely. Well, one thing is I've been married to Emily for 10 years, but I've known Laura for over 3 decades here.
Brad is my brother. Did we say that yet? I'm not sure.
I don't know if we've made it totally clear. That's a good clarification.
So I think it's so funny how long people might go without knowing that we're sister-in-laws, even though we typically try to say it most times. But that is the family relationship dynamic in this room.
Yes, okay. I'm the connecting link.
Oh, well, I am. I like to think that I am.
Okay. So, yeah, I've been married to Emily for 10 years. And we, anybody who's curious, we did meet through mutual friends, and the rest is history. So I do enjoy cooking breakfast for our family. I've got absolutely zero musical talents, and some special interest would be trying to influence as much as I can our kids to do a couple different things. One, for them to walk fast.
That was a big one of dad's. That was a big thing for dad.
Yes.
That we all walked quickly.
We don't want them being slow walkers.
Yes. Yeah.
Two, to have good handwriting. So legibility is key there.
Brad writes in like a centimeter script. Like it's like maybe 1 centimeter
It's
tall.
Readable.
It's very readable. It's very perfect and precise, but it's very small.
And then the last thing would be just to, for our 5 kids that we've got, to help have them learn how to say no to things. So lots of opportunities, lots of invitations to say yes. I think a good life skill would be to learn to say no.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
I need that.
What about you, Mike? Introduce yourself.
Yeah. So I've been married with Laura for just over 9 years now, and Brad was talking about meeting Emily through mutual friends. So a fun fact is Brad and I were actually buddies in college before I even knew Laura. So
dun, dun, dun.
Another link.
Yeah. Another link. Brad keeps bringing them. A little more about me. So I worked in engineering, production management type roles in the petrochemical industry for about 10 years. Recently have transitioned to more bio-based food production industry. For special interests, hobbies, I'm not really a big hobby guy, but I love being outside. I love just enjoying the outdoors and doing that with our family as much as possible.
You're into birding right now. Mike has birding these little kind of binoculars. He bought some new binoculars. We got a couple of bird books. He's out there on the front porch looking for birds all the time now. I think that's a real hobby for you.
Love wildlife.
Wildlife in general.
Tent camping. Try and do that.
Loves tent camping.
Mm-hmm. Once in a while with the kids. So, that's a little about me.
Mike's an outdoorsman. I'd be more of an indoorsman.
Well, while everyone is Googling petrochemical industry, Brad, you should say, what do you do for a living?
I live and work in Central Iowa. I'm in real estate and going to be starting another business here soon. Yes. That's going to be kind of coinciding right around whenever the book is launching. So we're kind of doubling up. But I stay pretty busy between the work and the family.
Yeah. Brad's very entrepreneurial.
Very entrepreneurial.
And organized.
Yep.
Okay, real quick for our listeners, what's one thing that they may not know about us?
Emily is not a morning person. She can talk very loud. I have to ask her to turn down her volume there, which is interesting, though, because we actually recently discovered that Emily does have mild to moderate hearing loss. And so that was some news to us that just a few weeks ago.
I'm talking loud for a reason.
She's talking loud for a reason. I would also say that Emily's very future-oriented, which gives her good perspective on life and decisions, big and small. She can help place those in context. One of the things we learned early on, though, is that she does not understand why people drink milk at dinner. She thinks it's like a rule or an agricultural...
like an Iowa thing?
Based, yes. Like an Iowa thing.
What? Not till he came up to Iowa. Mike doesn't actually understand why people drink either. Because
I think there's some truth to that.
So Brad and I grew up drinking milk, a big glass of milk at dinner, didn't
sure.
we?
Sure, it's what you do.
It's what you do. And Mike was always like, that's disgusting. So we drink water now. I just
air high five, Mike.
I had no idea, though, that more people than Mike thought it was weird.
It's like a Heartland.
It's a Heartland. It's you come to Iowa and you drink a glass of milk.
Yeah. Go to the barn and get hydrated.
Yeah. No way. I have never heard such a thing. This is crazy.
We're all learning new things.
Yeah, that's fun.
Mike, what do you got?
Yeah, so she is kind of adventurous, or she can be adventurous.
Yeah.
She has an adventurous side.
Yeah.
And that's probably what kind of really sealed the deal for me, like, early on in our relationship. So we were dating. I don't even know how long we'd been dating, but she took me skydiving.
That was true love.
So jumped out of a plane. Like, that's pretty wild.
Took our relationship to new heights.
Totally.
What are you supposed to say on that?
That's a big deal. Yeah, so I kind of talked about being outdoorsy before. She'll go camping with me. She's gone camping a couple times when she's been pregnant.
Mm-hmm. That's also true love.
I don't know how far along you
12
were.
12 weeks and 34 weeks.
Yep.
I mean, that is commitment.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brad, for never
two different babies.
But you enjoy it, right?
The 34 week one was hard. The 34 week one was hard. I was pretty big.
You enjoy parts of it.
I enjoy the daytime, just not the sleeping.
Yeah. And like some pretty intense camping trips too. Like, we went to the Boundary
Waters.
Like,
we have to bring our own water, people. Yeah, like, we put gallons of water in packs and we have to carry it with us. There's no fresh water.
Pretty remote areas of like northern Minnesota. So Laura has an adventurous side. That's something people probably don't know.
Thanks, guys. Okay, so today's show, the main focus was to just talk about marriage and the little years. We get a lot of questions from listeners and just really asking, like, hey, what does it look like to grow in my marriage relationship when we have lots of little kids at home? How do we overcome challenges? So let's just talk. What's the hardest thing about marriage?
I think one of the challenges about marriage in the little years for us was making time for one another. I remember we used to go on exciting dates that were involved, like jet skiing or going to shows. And now we're pretty happy if we can sneak away after the kids are down. Mm-hmm. Maybe we have a grandparent pop over and it's just for an hour and a half that we're able to get away and spend time with each other. So it's morphed and it's challenged, but I think making time for that relationship in the little years is an important piece, and it's hard, but you can do it.
Yeah, I totally concur with that. I was going to say the same thing of just, I think it's harder to have fun together, like to cultivate hobbies, because that really does take time. So we might be able to check off the box and be like, oh, we got to go out and have dinner. But there's even some transition there of like easing into the conversation and then jumping back home. So I think that's just something you go without a little bit in mm-hmm. the little years. It can be challenging. What do you think, Mike?
I think especially with little kids, parenting, like, it's such a joy. It's a blast. There's so many amazing things about it. But at the same time, it's just draining. It takes so much energy, you know, whether it's physical, emotional, intellectual. There's so many things, you know, to be discussed in your marriage. Like, there's just decisions all the time. Like, how are we disciplining in this area? And you know, each kid is unique and different. And a lot of times, all of that investment can, and it does, it takes away from your marriage, right? So it's kind of similar with the time thing, but just that focus of really loving each other well, staying connected with each other, that can be made a lot harder, I think.
Yeah, that emotional toll, I think, of pouring so much out into your kids, that sort of the whole idea of giving your husband the leftovers or your wife the leftovers. So I definitely would concur with that. So then, kind of on the flip side, thinking through how has God actually grown you or used marriage to grow you in this season?
I think I have grown some. Laura can tell us how much, but I think I've grown some just with respect to being a servant in our marriage. We were talking about just, you know, emotional and all the different kinds of, you know, energy investments into parenting. And I think all of that just lends itself to, you know, it's hard, but it creates opportunity for you to serve more in your marriage and to just see chances to help your spouse. And I think I've started to learn how to do that without being asked, and to do it from the right place in my heart. You know, not a lot of times. Like if Laura was really busy, even with the ministry at times, I think I'd step up in a certain way here or there, and I would kind of hope that she would notice it, like say something, and that's obviously, you know, doing things for the wrong reason. So I've started to come to grips more with everything that Laura does. Like, she's running a whole ministry. She wrote a book. There's a lot of ways that I can help out more and just not come home and kind of prioritize myself and what I want, whether that's just relaxing or, you know, doing stuff outside, whatever. And in the end, those things aren't going to fulfill me anyway. So, yeah.
You have grown a lot in that, I would say. I feel like you've always been a huge servant to our family, but definitely I think over the past few years, it's been neat to see just by, I think, a lot of life circumstances that the Lord has put into our lives where we've been forced to lean on one another. Like, I think there are certain things in life that you have a choice to either say, we need to be more dependent and work more as a team and give each other more of ourselves, or they could push you the other direction. And mm-hmm. I think God's been really gracious in our lives to push us towards serving one another really well. And I remember our pastor a few weeks ago even said, who is the biggest servant that you know? And he said, your answer should be your spouse. Mm-hmm. And I was so grateful because I did think of you, and it was really sweet. But he was like, you have a front row seat to their life. Like, you see them more than anyone else. And so hopefully the person that is the biggest servant in your life is your spouse, because you spend the most time with them. You see them the most. And that was challenging to me, of like, oh man, am I serving my husband well? Is he going to think of me? You know? And so that was just like a good question even to ask myself.
Yeah. I would definitely say that Emily and I have a solid, happy, fulfilling marriage. We have moments and times of disagreement for sure. But I think that God has used marriage and my marriage to Emily to really kind of show a spotlight on my own sinfulness and selfishness. And when you're in that kind of context of, you know, front row seat, life on life living, you can't help but, you know, the other person can't help but see mm-hmm. the best and the worst. And, you know, I think before marriage, I maybe thought that I was doing okay. But then you're, you know, when you're with somebody, you are confronted by, you know, all the ugliness, and you're experiencing it with somebody that you love. And so, yes, I'm a new creation in Christ, but the, you know, the marks are still clear of the fall. And, you know, I think God has used these little years to refine and shape my life and to reveal that, you know, I have a need to hear and to preach the gospel to myself, to have others preach it to me, and then to preach it to others as well. And, you know, I need that encouragement. Emily needs that encouragement. You know, we all need that encouragement. It works both ways, that reminder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is interesting thinking about in marriage, you know, we come in with a lot of expectations. And I know early on, you know, that's one of the first things that's revealed is like, oh, I expected we would eat dinner at this time and you expected we would do it at this time. And there's an opportunity for a conflict or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one of the ways, Brad, you and I have both grown. It's just like putting our expectations on Christ and then being able to come to one another with different expectations or just seeing ourselves as co-laborers and unified in this mission that God's given us to raise our family and to show everyone around us, you know, whether that's as business owners together or that's as parents together or working in the church nursery together to say, hey, how can we be unified in this and go forward? And it's amazing still, you know, 10 years later, I think there's things that we have expectations for each other that we have to take to the Lord and ask, where are my needs being met? And then you're my partner. You're not necessarily my primary need meter.
Mm, yeah. Well, not only with expectations, but I think also assumptions. I think I often would find myself thinking the baby's crying at night and I would be like, oh, he's just sleeping. He doesn't want to get up and be with the baby. He's just going to pretend like he can't hear them. Or maybe the idea that, oh, he wants to be at work. He doesn't actually want to be home with our family. On a night he might work late. And that was something where I needed to change my assumption of believing what you told me was true and expecting that, like, if he's going to say something that is truthful, no, he does want to be home and he has a lot of pressure at work, or no, he does want to get up with the baby. He just truly is sleeping through it. I mean, that was like a huge, I think we're all moms out there just to remember, like, sometimes they really do just sleep through the crying. It's amazing. But just that idea of believing the best in him and believing the best of his motives and assumptions, I think for me has been a big mind shift of it just extending generosity towards what's happening in your life and what your actions are and not assuming the worst or assuming that, like, I know all your motives, I know your heart, and remembering that I'm not your Holy Spirit and I can say things all day long, but ultimately, like, I cannot change my husband's heart. That can only be done through a work of God and the Holy Spirit. And that was really helpful for me to just remember my place and role in your life and to trust the Lord that he will change you as he sees fit on his timeline. And he's sanctifying you. And really in that, he's working on me the most. And that the first place that I need to look is within my own heart to look for the sin that I have and not trying to look into you and thinking about all the places that you can fix or whatever assumptions or motivations you might have. But I think that's been like where the Lord has worked on me the most in saying, no, look at you first. Look at your own heart. Not at the other person's. I'll deal with them as I deal with them. Like, you are responsible for you.
Hmm. Yeah, kind of to build on that, one of the questions we get the most from moms is, how can I encourage my husband to kind of grow spiritually or lead the family? Or, okay, I do see these areas of life where I feel like he needs to improve or change. And that can be really tough to figure out what that posture should be, or even kind of that tension between I'm praying and I am trusting the Lord, but also what should my actions practically look like? So Brad and Mike, we'll put you in kind of the hot seat. I mean, how do you feel like you are most encouraged to grow spiritually in our relationship?
Yeah, I think one of the best things wives, mothers can do is just finding ways for dad and for, you know, for their husband to partner with them. So I don't know, at least in our marriage, Laura is way more like nurturing. She knows how to, and it's something she's worked on more too, but I think she just knows how to like disciple our kids really well. And when she can give me insight into what she's doing with the kids and how she's, you know, working them through heart issues and disciplining well and, you know, having really good conversations with them, you know, when she gives me chances to join with her in that and give me insight into what happened that day, and just kind of tee it up for me to step, you know, step alongside her, that's huge. I think it's encouraging to me, you know, when she just trusts me that I can help with those things, And it helps, you know, it helps me grow spiritually when I step into those conversations and help our kids work through sin issues and you know, matters of the heart that works on my heart. You know, when you're when you're having those conversations with your kids, you have to you know, address things within your own life, I think. So that's been a huge thing for me. Yeah, and I would encourage moms to just find ways to do that with their husbands.
So I think this is a great question, and it's in some ways it's an easy one for me, because Emily does encourage me to grow spiritually and to lead our family simply by her example. And when I say that, I'm saying like how she lives from, you know, the 24-hour period in a day. She's faithful. She prays. She reads and teaches truth to our family. You know, many of those children's resources that, you know, are seen on social media, you know, those come to the home. She'll, you know, sit and walk through those, you know, with the kids at the breakfast table. And, you know, as we're all getting ready. And so making time, being intentional. Another example that I have is this year I took my oldest to school. And one of the things that Emily gave was she gave us like some flashcard questions that have a Bible verse on one side and then just two questions on the back side as conversation starters. And I would talk with my son about those things, you know, on this 12-minute drive to school. And I think if mom didn't do that, we would be doing, you know, mental math or thinking about, you know, landmarks along the way, making sure that they could, you know, pronounce the roads correctly that we're on. And so instead we use that time because of what mom did and giving me those cards. And I just keep them in the center console. And then we hold those things out and I can read it and then hand it back and he can read one. And then we talk about, you know, what does it mean to be strong in the Lord? What does, you know, putting on the armor of God? And those are, you know, I don't even know where to find that stuff. you know, they come in a little plastic baggie and we keep them and we...
It just magically appears.
Yeah, they work. So tremendous, you know, example and then actually doing it, you know, kind of like Mike was saying, you know, making it easy for us. Mm-hmm. And but definitely, you know, her example is inspiring.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think with being an example, that's such a good point, because that's the same way that I think you guys, I know Mike invests well in me, is seeing his example of desiring to follow the Lord and wanting to have conversations and wanting to grow. And so often in parenting, we feel like, oh, I got to be perfect. I need to have arrived. I need to know the right thing to say. I need to know the resources. But really, I think it's been neat, because every time I see Mike kind of wanting to invest well in our kids, or wanting to grow spiritually, or wanting to read a Christian book, or wanting to read the Bible, like, I'm caught up in that too. And I think it works mm-hmm. that way with both of us. I'm kind of moving my hands here of like people moving forward together, you know? And that is just a beautiful picture, I think, of marriage. And something that I love about my relationship with Mike is that when he's inspired, I'm inspired, and vice versa. And I think that's what marriage is designed to be, right? We're all striving for, is it Tim Keller uses, our future glory selves. We can kind of see, I can see what like Mike could be. Mike can see what like I could be. And so we're encouraging each other today towards the ways we know that like God can sanctify us towards for the future. So I just love that idea of examples of running the race and like caring for yourself first, I think, and recognizing that that is going to sweep up the other person and the story that you're kind of playing out in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember sitting at a wedding years ago and hearing the officiant talk about how this couple's joys were now going to be linked.
Yeah.
And it's not, it's almost like if you separate them from one another, like one person's success is the other person's success. Mm-hmm. And one person's struggle and lack of flourishing is going to affect the other person. And so, you know, that can be discouraging or can be incredibly encouraging to see that as a married couple, our joys are linked. And like mm-hmm. you said, our spiritual progress can often encourage one another. So, yeah, I think hopefully something in there was encouraging for you guys today as you're listening. And we're really grateful for Brad and Mike for being willing to sit in the hot seat and come on the show.
Nice job, guys.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks, guys. It was fun.
All right. Well, you can find out more just about the topic of marriage and motherhood, especially in the little years, on our website, risenmotherhood.com. We'll also have a lot of show notes for you today with additional resources, and you can see maybe some behind-the-scenes footage if you head over to social media this week at Risen Motherhood, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. So thanks, guys.